Amen. All right, well, we're there in Matthew chapter number 9, and I'd like you to look down at verse number 35, Matthew chapter 9 and verse number 35. These are well-known verses. The Bible says, "And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest." And of course, today is the last Sunday before we enter into a new year. And usually around this time of year, during this type of service, I like to preach sermons to prepare us as we end an old year and begin a new year. And this morning I spoke to the individual and I talked about being a time to change individually for us to grow as people in the new year. Tonight I want to speak about our church, and this might be a little bit different of a sermon than something I would normally preach on, but being the fact that we're beginning a new year, I think it's appropriate. And I believe that this coming year, 2025, could be the greatest year of our church's history. I think it could be the greatest year of growth of our church's history. And we are coming out of a difficult year, no doubt about it. I believe that this year, 2024, has been a purge, a bit of a purge on many different levels. But I believe that purges are there to help us, to prepare us for future growth. And what I can tell you is this: by God's grace, over the years, we have grown. And my wife and I started this church 14 years ago in our living room with a handful of people. And over the last 14 years, the Lord has allowed us to come this far. And I believe that the same God who has led us thus far will lead us in the future. And the same ideas that have helped us to grow in the past, I believe will help us to grow again. And tonight I want to speak on this subject of how we can grow and how we should grow in this coming year. And if you're there, again, I want you to just notice Matthew 9:37. The Bible says this: "Then saith he unto his disciples, The harvest truly is plenteous." The harvest truly is plenteous. And of course, Jesus is not talking about a physical harvest here. He's talking about a harvest of souls. He's talking about what we would call the Great Commission or soul winning. He says the harvest truly is plenteous. The word plenteous means abundant. He says, but there's a problem. He says the laborers are few. He says the problem is not with the harvest. There's enough people out there that need to be reached. The problem is with the workforce. He says the laborers are few. There's not enough workers. And for that reason, he says, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. And our church has always emphasized this idea of soul winning and reaching people with the gospel. Remember when we used to be a soul winning church? And I say that jokingly, of course. But we've always emphasized this idea of soul winning. I've often said to our church family that everything we do around here needs to fall under two categories: reaching people and teaching people. If you ever want to know what the mission statement of Verity Baptist Church, it is just that. We are here to reach and we are here to teach. And as a result of that, we've had these values, these what we might call core values for our church family. And I want to speak about these just quickly tonight. And if you want to jot these down, then maybe you can go ahead and jot them down if you want to take notes. But, and this shouldn't be surprising to you, these have been the core values of our church from the beginning. And maybe I've never stated it quite this way, but these should not be new to you. You say, what is the core values of Verity Baptist Church as far as the things that we value the most that are the core, the DNA of this place? Number one, soul winning. Number two, discipleship. Number three, fellowship. And number four, serving. And again, that shouldn't be a shocker to any of you if you've been at our church for any length of time. The things we value here are soul winning, discipleship, fellowship, and serving. Soul winning, discipleship, fellowship, and serving. These are the things that we set out to do when we started this church. These are the things that we will continue to set out to do over the coming year. And I believe that these are the things that God will use to help our church. It's what we've done to help us grow to this place, and it's what I believe God will use to help us to continue to grow. So let me just deal with these real quickly tonight, and we'll do this as quickly as we can. Number one, I want to just highlight for you this idea that I believe that our church can grow through soul winning. I believe that our church can grow. You say, what's the plan for growth in 2025? We can grow through soul winning. Let me just say this. Personal evangelism still works. And soul winning still works. Anything the Bible says to do is always going to work. And what we need to realize is this, that there is no lack of people out there that need to hear the gospel and that need to be reached with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Look at it again, Matthew 9:37. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous. The harvest truly is plentiful. The harvest truly is abundant. He says the problem is not with the harvest. The problem is with the laborers going out to reach people with the gospel. There is no lack of people that need to be reached with the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's no lack of people that are out there who would get saved if somebody would bring the gospel to them. And by the way, let me just say this, and tonight I'm going to give you a lot of different things, and again, this might be a little bit different of a sermon than I normally would preach, but not only is there not a lack of people that need to be reached out there, let me just say this, there's no lack of people coming to Verity Baptist Church or coming to check out this church from our outreach. In 2024, here, of course, at our church and with our staff, we like things to be organized. I like things to be organized, and we like to keep track of what our church is doing and things that are being accomplished. And we track, of course, our guests. We have guests that come to our church every week, and we appreciate that. And if you're a guest here tonight, we're glad that you're with us. And I think it's good for us to maybe look at these numbers sometimes and be reminded of these numbers. In 2024, our church, and this is not counting this week, this is not counting today. We've had guests this morning, we have guests tonight. But let me say this, in 2024, I think this is an interesting number for you to know. Our church has had 373 first-time guests come through to Verity Baptist Church just in the last 12 months. We've had 281 come on Sunday mornings. We've had 55 come on Sunday night. We've had 37 come on Wednesday night. 373 first-time guests. And some churches have problems with trying to get guests in church or get visitors in church. Our church is not one of those. We don't have a problem with having guests. In fact, we do a pretty good job at it. 373 for a church our size is a good number. As far as keeping guests, every church has problems with keeping guests. Even Rick Warren, who pastors probably one of the largest churches in America, obviously is a liberal pastor, seeker-sensitive, rock band, fun center type church. But even a church like that, who's never going to offend anyone and who's never going to hurt anybody's feeling, they talk about the fact that if they can have 1 out of 20 guests come back, they consider that a success. So when you think about these big mega church, fun center type, seeker-sensitive type, even they say, if we can get 1 out of 20 visitors who come to their church, if we can get one of them to come back, they consider that a success. So every church, of course, is going to struggle, not only with getting guests, but also having guests come back and return. And our church does a good job with that. I mean, even this morning, I think we had several guests here this morning that it was their third week and fourth week and fifth week. And of course, we track those things. But 373 guests that have came to Verity Baptist Church this year. And I say that to you to say this, the harvest truly is plenteous. And there is no problem with the harvest. In fact, there's not even a problem necessarily with getting people saved and getting people in church. And I just say to you that soul winning works. It still works. It has worked. The Bible teaches to go, Jesus taught, to go ye therefore into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. The Bible tells us to go out by two and two to get people saved. And of course, we emphasize here at Verity Baptist Church not only to get people saved, but to follow follow up, to do our best to follow up and bring guests to church. And I'm here to tell you, it works. And you might be thinking, I don't know about this soul winning thing. I don't know if it works. Sometimes we have dry spells and people go out for a while and they don't have anybody saved and they don't have anybody come to church. And I understand that happens from time to time. And in fact, I'm going to be teaching lessons on Saturday mornings on things of this nature for a little while. And one of the lessons I'd like to teach is on the subject of what to do when you're experiencing a dry spell out soul winning. But let me just say to you, soul winning works. The Word of God works. It still works. I remember years ago, Brother Jose and I were out soul winning, and we knocked on a door, and a lady opened the door, and her name was Nicole Johnson. And of course, you know Miss Nicole, and I remember talking to Miss Nicole and leading her through the Romans Road, and she got saved, and I remember asking her if she would like to be a guest at our church, and she said she'd love to, but she had a problem with transportation, and I said, if we sent a van out to pick you up for church, would you be interested in coming? And she said, absolutely. I don't know how many years ago that was. I think she's been coming to our church for almost a decade now, and she started coming to church, and of course, since then, she got a license, and since then, she got a vehicle, and now she drives herself. But I'm here to tell you that soul winning works. Getting people saved works. Following up on people works. I remember years ago knocking on Brother Salvador's door, meeting Brother Salvador and getting him to come to church and having him come to church. And I don't remember this. He tells the story. I'm not sure if he's making it up or not. But he tells me that not only did I get him to come to church, but I got him to come to become a Three to Thrive, you know, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. That I walked up to him after a Sunday morning and I said, hey, it's good that you've been coming on Sunday mornings, but you should come on Sunday night. And he said, all right. And he started coming. And he started coming on Wednesday night. And he started coming soul winning. And he's been coming ever since. And I'm just here to tell you, it works. It still works. I remember years ago getting Brother Montel Johnson saved. And I knocked on his door, and he got saved. And it took him a while before he came. In fact, our church had to knock on his door. He kept moving around in Natomas, and our church had to knock on his door several times, but eventually he got here, and Ms. Lindsay got saved, and the rest is history, and they've been with us for a while. And you say, oh, you're telling all these old stories. How about something more recent? Well, just not too long ago, I knocked on a door, and Brother Warren got saved. And look at this beautiful couple sitting here, Brother Warren and Ms. Brittany. If you don't know them, you need to get to know them. And I knocked on a door, and I had my sons with me, and Brother Warren got saved. And it took a little bit. Brother Warren and Miss Brittany tell me that after we knocked on the door and they got saved, they actually were just watching sermons online for a while. And then they started watching the live streams for a while. And when they were watching the live streams, I was preaching a series on how to help people reach their potential. And it finally got to the point where they said, you know what, we need to just get down there. And they came, and Miss Brittany got saved, and they've been growing, and they've been coming, and they've been serving. And I'm here to tell you, hey, this works. It works. Knocking doors works. Following up on people works. Loving people works. I mean, I thank God for all of these personal converts that I have here in our church. I'll tell you, the greatest convert I've ever had is my wife. I got my wife saved. As a 17-year-old kid, got her saved, and of course we got married, and you know the story. But what I'm telling you is this: soul winning works. Don't tell me it doesn't. And it can work for you. And of course, I'm telling you these stories. There's many of you that are here, and somebody knocked on your door. I think we have a guest here tonight that came because somebody knocked on their door. We had a baptism this morning because Brother Johnny knocked on somebody's door. Brother John got somebody saved and followed up with them. Brother John, actually, and I don't mean to put him on the spot, he's actually really good at this whole follow-up thing. And I was talking to him this afternoon. I said, Brother John, can you tell me the secret? Because you just seemed, you know, some people, you know, we're all commanded to do these things, but some people seem to have gifts and knacks at it. You know, and I asked him, I said, what's your secret? Tell me your secret to getting guests in church and getting them baptized. He said, here's my secret. Two things: be nice and follow up. Be nice and follow up. And here's, you know what that means? Here's what he was telling me. Just do it. It works. Just get their information. Call them up. Send them a text. Put something in the mail. Follow up. I'm here to tell you that personal evangelism works. It has worked. It still works. It's how we got this church started, and it's how we will continue to build this church together. Soul winning works. And I believe that in 2025, we can grow this church through soul winning. Go to John chapter 1, just real quickly. John chapter, what? You're there in Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. And you know, when I see these converts here at our church, people that our church reached through soul winning, we knocked on their door, we got them saved, they came to church. When I see these people, you know what it makes, what it does for me? It makes me think, I want to go get another one. I want to go find another one. I want to go soul winning next week and knock on a door. And who knows who we might meet. And who knows who we might get saved. And who knows who might come. And look, you ought to have a goal as a soul winner at Verity Baptist Church that in 2025, you want to have a convert sitting here in church that you got saved and you knocked on your door, because this works. It works. And the only time it doesn't work is when we don't work it. Personal evangelism still works. There's no lack of people out there that can be reached. There's no lack of people out there checking out churches. There's no lack of people out there to do it. What we lack is the soul winners to go out and knock doors and do the work and get people saved. And maybe you need to get involved in soul winning. Maybe you need to take the next step and learn how to preach the gospel and do it at the door. Maybe you need to start actually following up on the converts you're getting saved. Maybe you got to just make a goal this year. I want to have a convert in church 2025. I want to have a convert in church. But I'm here to tell you, it works. Not only does personal evangelism work, but let me say this, inviting friends and family still works. You know, there's a biblical principle. In the Bible, we actually see this. John chapter 1, if you look at verse number 40, the Bible says this, John chapter 1 and verse 40, one of the two which heard John speak and followed him. Notice this, the Bible says, was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. Now notice, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, he hears about Jesus, and the Bible says in verse 41, he first findeth his own brother Simon. Simon, of course, becomes the great apostle Peter. How did Simon come to Christ? He came to Christ because his brother invited him. He first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, we have found the Messiah, which being interpreted, the Christ. Notice verse 42. And he, Andrew, brought him, Peter, to Jesus. Not only does knocking doors still work, but let me say this, inviting friends and family still works. How's the great apostle Peter brought to Christ? His brother brought him. His brother invited him. He brought him to Jesus. When Jesus beheld him, he said, thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee. Notice this. There's a theme here. In verses 40, 41, and 42, we see that Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, first findeth his own brother Simon. He goes to him, and he brought him to Jesus. Then in verse 43, we read this. And the day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and findeth Philip and saith unto him, follow me. Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip, notice these words, findeth Nathanael. Do you see the theme here? Andrew finds Simon Peter, his brother. Philip findeth Nathanael and saith unto him, we have found him of whom Moses the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said unto him, now notice here's an objection. Philip finds Nathanael. And Nathanael said unto him, can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? And look, when you're out and you're inviting your friends and your family, and I think you ought to invite your friends and your family. I think you ought to invite your co-workers. I think you ought to invite your neighbors. I think you ought to live your life, maybe at work, with such a testimony that you can invite your friends and you can invite your family. And look, you ought to invite them to church. And if they say to you, well, can there any good thing come out of Norwood? You say, how do I respond to that? Here's how you respond. Philip saith unto him, come and see. Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Come and see. Come and see. When they say to you, well, I don't know. Can any good thing come out of that? Come and see. And I'm here to tell you that soul winning still works, and personal evangelism still works, and knocking doors, and preaching the gospel, and following up on guests, all of that, and praying for your converts, all of that still works, and inviting your friends and your family, that still works too. And we want to create an atmosphere here at Verity Baptist Church where you feel comfortable inviting friends and family every week of the year. That's one of the reasons why we stress professionalism so much around here. One of the reasons that we try to serve with excellence. Now, the main reason we want to serve with excellence is because we're doing it for the Lord. And anything we do for the Lord, we ought to do with excellence. If we're going to do something for God, we ought to do it right. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. But you know, another reason that these musicians and these song leaders and this orchestra, that they put so much work and energy into the things that they do, one of the reasons is because they want your friends and your family to be impressed when you invite them to your church. We want them to walk in and say, wow. We want them to be like the Queen of Sheba when she walks into Solomon's temple and she says, look at how this place is organized and look at how this place is ran. Look at the ushers and look at the safety team and look at the musicians and look at all these different things. Hey, we want to create an atmosphere that welcomes people so that you can feel excited about inviting your friends and family every week of the year. But let me just say this as well. We also want to give you opportunities to invite your friends and family. And we want you to take these opportunities. This is one of the reasons why at this church, at least four times a year, we put on certain events that are meant to help you invite friends. For example, we have I Love My Church Sunday coming up. That would be a great opportunity for you to invite your friends and your co-workers, your family members. We, of course, have Easter in April. We got Family Friend Day, our church's anniversary in September. We have Christmas services. Of course, we just had that for this year, but for next year. These are all opportunities for you to invite friends. And look, you and I have been left on this earth to reach people with the gospel. What is the purpose of this church? To reach people and to teach people. And the way that you and I can do that is by going out there and knocking doors and preaching the gospel and following up on guests and inviting them to church and bringing them to church. And every soul winner ought to have a goal this year. I want to have a convert in church. I want to have a convert baptized. I want to have a convert sitting next to me in church. But you know, you can also say, I want to invite a friend. I want to invite a coworker. I want to invite a family member. We had 373, not counting today, visitors come to our church in this last year. But let me give you the breakdowns. How did these people come? And again, this is not including today. Of the 373 visitors that came to church this last year, 138 of them were invited by a friend or family member. 138 of the 373 visitors that we had in church, 138 of them were invited by one of you, invited by a friend or a family member. A church member of our church went up to their brother, their sister, their co-worker, their neighbor, and said, come and see. And praise the Lord for that. Let's make sure we keep doing that. Of the 373, 138 were invited by friends and family. 135 were invited by a soul winner. 135 had somebody knock on their door and invite them to church or leave literature at their door, and they came as a result. I mean, think about that. 138 came from someone in our church inviting them, a friend or a family member, and 135 came from soul winning. Those are the two major ways that we've had people come to church this last year and over the years. 34 of the 373 came as a result of our connection to the new IFB. 28 came from church mailers, 21 from social media, 16 just because they drove by and saw this building and saw that there was cars in the parking lot and children playing outside and they said something's going on there. One came because they saw the church van. Brother Shaw takes full credit for that one. They just saw the church van drive by and it says, follow me to Verity Baptist Church or something, and they just followed and we asked them, how'd you come to church? And they wrote down, I followed the church van. I'm here to tell you that the things that have brought us to this place will continue to help us to grow because we can grow through soul winning. Personal evangelism still works. And you say, well, you know, my soul winning doesn't go well and I don't get a lot of people saved. Well, maybe you got to change some things. Go to Acts real quickly, Acts chapter 18, if you're there in John, Acts. And maybe you got to work on some things. Maybe you got to change some things up. Maybe you got to spend some time in prayer. Brother RJ just preached a great soul-winning challenge about how he led a soul-winning marathon in San Jose, and he spent every day leading up to that soul-winning marathon praying that the Lord would give him some converts, and he had three people saved that day. Maybe we need to start praying every day. Four converts and four our converts. Maybe you need to just read How to Win Friends and Influence People and be a little nicer and smile. You know, we can work on those things. What I'm telling you is we need to realize that these things work. Soul winning works. We can grow through soul winning. Let me give you a second thought tonight. Not only can we grow through soul winning, and we have grown through soul winning, and we will continue to grow through soul winning, but let me say this, we can grow through discipleship. Through discipleship. In Acts 18, I think we find a story that highlights this very well. Acts 18, in verse number 24, the Bible says this, and a certain Jew named Apollos, born in Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man was instructed. The word instructed means there, or this man was instructed means that he had some initial training. He had some things that he had learned. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. So Apollos, the Bible tells us, he was instructed, but his knowledge was limited, knowing only the baptism of John. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, notice these words, they took him unto them. They connected with him. They provided fellowship. They took him unto them and, notice these words, expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. And the word perfectly there means more completely. They provided full instruction. Because remember, he had been instructed in the ways of the Lord, but knowing only the baptism of John. The instruction that he had received had been limited. So what Aquila and Priscilla did, they took him unto them and they expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. Notice verse 27. And when he had disposed to pass to Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him, who when he was come, notice these words, help them much which had believed through grace. So they took him, they expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly, and then the Bible tells us that he became valuable. The result was that he was accepted, verse 27, they received him, and verse 27, he helped them much. He became very valuable to them. And what we see here, what is it that Aquila and Priscilla were doing? They were engaging in discipleship. They were taking this new convert, this young convert, Apollos, who had a lot of potential. He knew some things, but he needed more instruction. They needed to balance him out. They needed to kind of fill him in on some things. And they expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. And what were they doing? They were discipling him. And as a result of discipleship, their ministry grew. And you know, our church has always engaged in discipleship. We've always had an emphasis in discipleship. And at times we've emphasized it more than others, and at times we've gotten busy and not done things, and I understand that. But let me just say this. Every time that we've emphasized discipleship, our church has grown. It's helped people. It's helped people to get connected. It's helped them to become valuable and to learn and to grow. You know, over the last few months, I've been doing this, my wife and I have been doing this, this kind of, it's not, I don't know what the right word is. It's not formal. It's not formal at all, but we've kind of been doing this little exercise where we've been thinking about people in our church, you know, the good ones, And we've been kind of just dissecting, like, what is it that worked with this individual? And we've been talking about different people and kind of looking at characteristics of things that have worked. And again, just kind of this, like, informal study. And because what I wanted to figure out is this. What have people done naturally? What have people just done out in the wild that has helped them grow, that has helped them get connected? Because if we can figure that out, what people have done naturally to grow, then let's try to systematize that and just try to get everybody on that same agenda. And you know, as we've been doing this, we've been thinking about people, we've been talking to people, we've been kind of surveying certain people. And you know what we've learned is that in one way or another, there's about three different things that have helped new people get connected in our church over the years and grow. I'm talking about people that are sitting here tonight, great church members that are here. You know, these are the three things that we've kind of learned. One is that early on, they binge-watched a lot of sermons. Now, for those of you that came through the online ministry, a lot of you, you know, you just watched a lot of sermons and watched a bunch of documentaries and things of that before you ever came to church, and that's been true of you. But, you know, it hasn't just been that. I mean, I think about the people that we've knocked on their doors, even the people that I mentioned. I know with Brother Montel, he tells me when he first started coming to our church, and he was had a job where they would drive a lot and travel, and his wife would go with him and his kids, and they were just listening to every audio sermon on the website of Verity Baptist Church. They just got a lot of knowledge real early on in their walk with the Lord. I think of Brother Warren and Miss Brittany, and they said the same thing. They were just watching a lot of sermons at the beginning and just getting a lot of knowledge. And that's, you know, that's one thing that in different ways people have done, this idea of kind of just getting a lot of sermons, binge-watching. Not everyone, but that has been a characteristic. And if we asked the question tonight, I think that a lot of you would say, yeah, you know, you're just listening a lot, learning a lot, kind of grabbing a lot early on. That has been one characteristic. Another characteristic that we've noticed of people that have done well is that they had some sort of a connection already in church. You know, this comes, of course, when somebody invites a friend or a family member, but somehow they got connected and they had a connection, and that helped. Another thing that we've learned is that this has happened a lot, and it's happened with people that had a connection, but it's also happened with people that didn't have a connection, but maybe they just weren't shy, and they just made sure that this happened. But one thing that I've noticed is that new people that got connected early and are doing well in the Christian walk is that they found someone that could answer a lot of questions for them. Because a lot of times when people started coming to our church, you know, all of this was new. Everything was new. And they had a lot of questions. And depending on their background, if they grew up Catholic, they might have had a lot of questions that had to do with Catholicism. Or they grew up in some other type of religion or no religion at all. There was just a lot of questions. And just as we kind of surveyed people and talked through the testimonies of different people, we just kind of realized these are three main characteristics that people have had over the years that do well. They somehow, some way, binge-watched or binge-listened to or got a lot of preaching into them early on, a lot of teaching early on. They had some sort of friend or some sort of connection, some connection already in church that helped them, or they just found someone that they were able to call and text and get a lot of questions answered early in their walk with the Lord. And you say, why do you bring this up? I bring this up because for our church for years, I want to say the first time we kind of launched our discipleship program, I'm not sure of the year exactly, but it had to have been like 2013 or 14. And I wrote a discipleship course. Many of you have gone through our discipleship course. And, of course, we've revamped it through the years. But what we did was we did discipleship in a group setting, like a class setting, and people came. And that's worked. Every time we've done it, it's worked well. I feel like people that go through discipleship, they really just get solid and stable, and it's been a good thing. But one thing that I didn't like too much about the class setting is that when you've got several people going through these lessons, you know, if somebody misses a lesson, we can't wait for them. We just kind of keep going because we got a whole group. And also, it limits the amount of questions that people can ask because obviously you've got five or six people sitting in a discipleship class. They're not just going to sit here and ask, you know, every question about everything in the Bible. So one thing that I'd like for us to do in this coming year, and I'm just explaining to you tonight, you know, how are we going to grow? How are we going to continue to expand here at Verity Baptist Church? Well, one way is what we've always done, soul winning. We're going to keep soul winning. We're going to keep knocking doors. We're going to keep inviting friends and family. We're going to keep creating opportunities for you to do that. But, you know, another way is that we're going to keep discipleship, but I want to change our discipleship a little bit in the sense that I want to try to cover these areas. You know, I've been teaching through this series, which I'm not done, on Rooted and Grounded. We've gone through about half of it. We've done 12 lessons in Rooted and Grounded. When we begin the new year, we're going to start it back up, and we're going to finish it up. When it's all said and done, it's going to be about 20 lessons. And the way that I've kind of came through these 20 lessons and these 20 sermons that I'm going to preach is I wanted to be able to take an individual who just got saved and take them through these 20 lessons, and by the time they get to lesson number 20, they're one of us. I mean, they know everything they need to know. I'm not saying they know everything about the Bible. I'm not saying that they have everything figured out. But I'm saying they know everything they need to know as far as what we believe, what the Bible teaches. I mean, and we start gradually, faith versus works, repent of your sins, eternal security, baptism, Bible reading, prayer, soul winning. But I mean, we're going to get into separation and modesty and standards and you know, all sorts of things. And that has been the goal. And one thing that I'd like for us to do, one thing we're going to try this coming year, and look, we ought never be afraid to try new things. We ought to try things, and sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't work. But one thing that I'd like to do is change our discipleship from a class setting to a one-on-one setting where we can take an individual that walks, one of these 373 people that walk through these back doors on any given Sunday and say, hey, we have a discipleship program where we will connect you. If you're a man, we'll connect you with a man. If you're a lady, we'll connect you with a lady. If you're a couple, we'll connect you with a man that can lead the couple through this. And we'll take you through these 20 lessons. And you say, well, what's the point of that? What are you trying to accomplish? We're trying to make them binge watch 20 lessons. Binge learn 20 lessons right up front. And we want to give them a friend and a connection and a mentor and someone who can be there and try to answer questions for them. And for some people, some things are going to be more important than others. Some people are going to go through a lesson on eternal security and they're like, oh yeah, no problem. I believe that. Other people are going to have a lot of questions because maybe they grew up in a church that taught something different than that. And they're going to need somebody to kind of walk them through that and talk them through that. And this is something that we want to do. We're going to start it slow. In fact, just starting out, I'm only going to be using Brother Oliver, Deacon Oliver, and my wife to help us with this. But if it goes well, and I'm hoping it goes well, in the future we could have lots of people connecting with new converts and helping them, taking them through these lessons, teaching them these things, creating an opportunity for them to have a connection, learn the things they need to learn, and get connected in the things of God. Because discipleship has always worked. I think it will continue to work. And I believe that in 2025 we can grow through discipleship. You're there in Acts 18. Go to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. And by the way, let me say this. And part of me is I'm telling you some of these things just so you can be aware of what's coming. But you know, I don't want to burn people out. So honestly, one of the things that I'd like to do, I mean, we'll do discipleship with anybody whenever they want. But one of the things I'd like to do is even provide discipleship even during a Sunday night service. And letting a church, a new convert, come to church, and they can come in on a Sunday night, and they can sit there and sing and go through all that. But when it comes to the preaching, then maybe we could just dismiss them, and they can go with their discipleship mentor, and they can go through these lessons. Because honestly, you know, what a new convert probably needs more, these 20 lessons that we've gone through in the Rooted and Grounded series, they're going to need that more urgently than whatever I happen to be preaching on a Sunday night. Now, they need what I'm preaching on a Sunday night too, but you know what a new convert needs? They need to just be really thoroughly taught what the Bible teaches about repent of your sins. And they need to just be really grounded on this idea of eternal security. And they need to be taught about the King James issue. They need to be taught about the reprobate doctrine. They need to be taught about Zionism. They need to be taught these things. They need to be taught about dress standards and music standards and what fornication is and what the Bible teaches about alcohol. And honestly, I can't just preach these things every week, and we can't just afford for them to wait 3 years or 2 years till I get to that subject. So we're just going to have them binge watch it all in the first 20 weeks. Give it all to them right up front. Give them a friend and a connection. Give them a mentor to answer their questions. And look, you say, well, what can we do with that? You know, pray about that and encourage. If you know of someone that's coming to church, once we launch this thing, say, hey, you know, we got a discipleship program. You ought to sign up. So we can grow through soul winning. We can grow through discipleship. But number three, let me say this, we can grow through fellowship. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 42, I want you to notice these words. The Bible says this, and they continued. They continued. And that's the goal. The goal is that new converts would continue. And they continued, notice these words, steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. So they continued in the doctrine. They got the teaching, they got the preaching, they got the lessons, they continued in their doctrine. But notice, it's not just doctrine, they continued in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. Look at verse 46, Acts 2:46. And they continuing, that's the goal. And they continuing daily, notice these words, with one accord. They were united, one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house. They'd eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. Singleness of heart there is referring to unity. And I believe that fellowship is an aspect of discipleship. And for us, discipleship is, and look, discipleship is not just a course you go through. Obviously, sitting in church on Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night and reading your Bible at home and all those things, all of that is discipleship. But what we want to do is we want to create a system. If we're looking at the greatest church members our church has and we're thinking, okay, all of these people just binge watched a bunch of sermons, they found someone to connect with, they had a lot of questions, they asked a lot of questions, they got a lot of questions answered. If they kind of did this naturally on their own, and we see that multiple people who got connected, got rooted, got grounded, and they were all kind of doing these same things, then we would be idiots to say, well, let's just systematize that. Let's just create a system that helps people get all the 20 lessons they need up front, get a mentor and a connection, get someone that they feel comfortable asking questions to, answering questions, having questions answered. That's what we want to do with discipleship. But then along with that, we want fellowship. It's not just the apostles' doctrine, it's also fellowship. What does fellowship do? Fellowship allows them to connect, and fellowship allows them to continue. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. They continuing daily with one accord in the temple, the Bible says the result was gladness and singleness of heart. So we want to grow through fellowship. Keep your place there in Acts. We're going to come back to it. Put a ribbon or a bookmark there. And go with me, if you would, to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4, Acts, Romans, 1st, 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4. And look, when it comes to fellowship, we provide a lot of fellowship opportunities here. I mean, just on Tuesday, we're having our New Year's Eve service. But when we get into the new year, you know, we're going to have our homeschool Valentine's Day party. We're going to have I Love My Church Sunday. And we're going to give out popcorn in the morning, bags of popcorn to everyone who comes. That'd be a great time for you to invite a friend or a family member. In the evening, we're going to have a potluck. We have our annual ladies' tea that my wife puts on for all the ladies. We have the annual church picnic. We've got family and friend day. We've got the harvest party and the pie social and the hot chocolate and Christmas cookie fellowship and the senior saints breakfasts and all the team events and all the events that you guys have with your teams and the different holiday parties and the picnics and all those things. Look, we've got a lot of opportunities for people to fellowship, and we want to continue to create those opportunities. Here's the thing that I've learned is I can't make anybody be friends. And I can't even make some of you be friendly as much as I try. But what we can do is we can create atmospheres where hopefully connections can be made and where people can be a part of these things. You know, again, this is maybe a little bit more of like a State of the Union for our church address, but let me just give you some things that are coming back in the new year. This is something that we've kind of let go a little bit, but in the new year, we want to bring the youth activities back and bring back the teen activities for the young people. One thing that we'd like to do in this coming year is bring back the family fun nights. Now, you probably have no clue. I don't know that any of you were here. I mean, other than like my family, obviously my wife, my family, Brother Ray and Miss Denise, but years and years and years and years ago, we used to have these family fun nights, and they were really geared towards the kids. And of course, we're family integrated. We never separate children from their parents. So parents would come with the kids. But they were kind of like our church's version of vacation Bible school. And we would have songs for the kids and a lesson for the kids. It was just a time to kind of focus on the kids. And we want to bring that back. We're going to bring it back a little different, but we want to bring the family fun nights. And I hope you'll look forward to that. I hope that you'll, the young teenagers, the young people, will look forward to these activities. What I'm saying to you is these are all things we've done in the past, and we need to continue to do them because they will help us to grow. We can grow through soul winning. We can grow through discipleship. We can grow through fellowship. Number four, we can grow through serving. We can go through serving. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11, the Bible says this, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Why? Here's why. For the perfecting of the saints. The word perfecting means the completing or the maturing of the saints. Notice the Bible says for the work of the ministry, and then it says for the church, for the edifying of the body of Christ. It gives us these three statements: for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. The statement for the perfecting of the saints has to do with spiritual growth. And do you know that serving is part of discipleship? And serving is part of spiritual growth. And if you are going to grow spiritually, you need to find a place to get connected, find a place to serve. But not only is serving part of individual growth, it's part of corporate growth. Because it says for the perfecting of the saints, it says for the edifying of the body of Christ. What's the body of Christ? That's the church. And in the middle of these two statements, the perfecting of the saints, the completing of the saints, the maturing of the saints, the growth of the individual saint, and the edifying of the body of Christ, the corporate growth of the church. In the middle of these two statements is this statement: for the work of the ministry. What does that tell us? It tells us that the work of the ministry helps the individual to grow, and the work of the ministry helps the church to grow. Serving helps you grow spiritually, and serving helps the church grow as well. Our growing capacity is limited by how many people serve. See, oftentimes, I heard this recently. I thought it was interesting. Oftentimes, the church will think, they'll say, oh, well, you know, we have 50 people serving. And I didn't count it, but our church has way more than 50 people serving. I mean, we actually have a lot of people that serve, and praise the Lord for it. But sometimes people will get this idea, they'll say like, oh, we have 50 people serving because our church has like 200 people. But the truth is this: you don't have 50 people serving because your church has 200 people. You have 200 people because you have 50 people serving. Because like we talked about this morning, if we're going to grow, we must grow our capacity. We must grow our ability. We must grow. That's why I'm so excited that this, you know, the whole, these song leaders, I mean, everybody, the song leaders, the pianists, the orchestra, everybody's just kind of stepped up their game. You say, what's exciting about that? Hey, when we grow our capacity, it grows our ability to do more and accomplish more. Growth is always a good thing. Growing personally will help our church grow corporately as well. Our growing capacity is limited by how many people serve. And if we can increase our capacity, then we can increase our ability to grow. Now, let me just say this, because some of you have servants' hearts, and I appreciate you, but let me just be clear. When I'm talking about getting more people to serve, I'm not talking about getting the same people to do more, okay? Because I get that there are people out there that they'll do everything, and I appreciate them, and their heart's in the right place. But we're not trying to get, you know, the same 20 people to just do more. But you know what we are trying to do is to get everybody involved in serving. Everybody doing something. Everybody serving in some capacity, somewhere. We don't want the same people doing more. We don't want to burn everybody out. And in fact, the more people we can get to serve, then the more rest times that we can allow. Obviously, many hands make for a light load, and the more individuals involved. But what I'm saying is this: we want to have everybody serving, everybody doing something, everybody engaged somewhere. Why? Because serving will not only help you grow, it'll help the church grow. So we can grow. We can grow through serving. We can grow through fellowship. We can grow through discipleship. We can grow through soul winning. Go back to Acts real quickly. Acts chapter number 6. So I'm just saying to you, these are all the things that have brought us this far. And I think these are things that will take us to the next level. We can grow through soul winning. Soul winning still works. Preaching the gospel to people still works. Getting their information and praying, obviously asking for permission to get their information and praying for them, following up with them, all of that still works. Inviting your friends and your family still works. Discipleship still works. Getting people connected, giving them someone to connect with, getting them somebody that can answer questions for them, getting them some important lessons right up front, all of that works. Fellowship will help people get connected. It'll help people continue. It works. Serving will still help Christians grow themselves individually, and it'll help the church grow corporately. Now, you might be asking this question. With all that said, what does that have to do with me? Well, let me tell you exactly how you can help. Because remember, we can grow through serving and we need your help. You say, well, what are some things that I can do? Here's some things that you can do. I'm talking about just the average member here. You say, I can't play an instrument and I can't, you know, do some of these things. Okay, here's something that you can do. Here's something everybody can do. Number one, show up. Show up. You know, in the new year, you need to make a decision that I'm just going to be faithful to church. Maybe you've allowed the holiday season to kind of take you out. And I realize people are traveling. I'm not talking about that. But one thing you can do is to just say, hey, you know what? I need to just be faithful to church. I need to be a three to thrive. I need to have Brother Salvador walk up to me and say, hey, you ought to be here on Sunday night, you know, and show up to church. That's something you can do. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, three to thrive, show up to church. That's something you can do. But you know, here's something else you can do. Not only can you show up to church, but you can show up early. You can show up early or, you know, at least on time and not late. You say, why? Because it's exciting when you're here. The party doesn't start till you get here. So show up, be here. You say, why should I show up early? So you can talk to people, so you can fellowship with people, so you can develop friendships, so that you can grow. You ought to show up. You ought to show up early. Let me say this. You ought to sit up front. Now, I'm talking about those of you that don't have babies. If you have babies, obviously, sit towards the back. We get that. But if you don't have little children, you know, sit up front. Sit closer to the front. You know what human nature is? Human nature is to just sit, you know, as far back as possible. And look, and again, I'm not mad at you guys sitting in the back, all right? But I'm saying to you, if you don't have a baby, you know, I get it. You have children, you got to watch, whatever. I'm not talking about that. But if you're able to sit closer, sit up front, hey, that's good. Because you know what that does? Is that frees up the back rows for the moms with the young children that need to deal with those things. Look, if you're asking, how can I help? Here's how you can help. Show up. Here's how you can help. Show up early. Here's how you can help. Sit up front. Here's how you can help. Sing! You know, the singing service is more exciting when you sing. And you ought to sing. You ought to open up your hymn book. You ought to open your mouth. You ought to sing and sing praises to God. And you say, well, I'm not a very good singer. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. And if the noise that comes out of your mouth is not that, you know, nice, that's okay. Just make a joyful noise. But you ought to sing. The singing services are exciting when you sing. You ought to serve. You ought to find somewhere to serve. If you, and again, I'm not talking to those of you that already do a lot, but if you're saying, I don't really have a place to serve, I don't have something I'm doing, you ought to figure out a place to serve. You know, in a couple of weeks, we're having a training, an audio video training for people that want to learn about doing live streams and helping us with the live streams. You know, if that's something that you could do and you're into technology or whatever, you ought to sign up. You ought to go. Find somewhere to serve. Here's something everybody can do. You ought to go soul winning. You ought to get involved in soul winning. Remember when we used to go soul winning? And by the way, when you go to soul winning, show up early and sit up front. And sing. And get involved. Look, I'm just telling you that we're not going to come up with some new secret. Of here's the secret of how our church is going to grow in the next year. No, we're going to grow next year the same way we've grown every year. Soul winning, discipleship, fellowship, serving. But what we need is your help to get involved. Are you there in Acts chapter 6? Let me just show you one verse and we'll be done. Acts chapter 6 and verse 7, the Bible says this, and the word of God increased. And the word of God increased. I love that phrase because, you know, it might be a little bit of a confusing phrase. And when the Bible says here that the word of God increased, it doesn't mean that they got more of the word of God, although they were still writing the New Testament when this was being addressed here. But what the Bible is saying here, when it says that the word of God increased, the idea is this, that as a result of their ministry, more people were exposed to the word of God as a result of what they were doing. The word of God and the influence of the word of God increased, and notice this, the number of the disciples multiplied. So what's our goal in 2025? For the word of God to increase and for the number of disciples to multiply. How are we going to do it? We're going to do it through soul winning. How are we going to do it? We're going to do it through discipleship. How are we going to do it? We're going to do it through fellowship. How are we going to do it? We're going to do it through serving. And if you're sitting here this evening and you're saying, yeah, I've heard this sermon before. I've heard all these things before. Soul winning, discipleship, fellowship, serving. I've heard you talk about all these things. You know, maybe you're sitting here tonight and you're thinking, oh, brother, you know, here we go again with the soul winning, discipleship, and the fellowship and serving. You know, let me say to you, it's not here we go again. It's here we grow again. Because these are all the things that God has used over the years to help us grow. And they'll be the same things that help us grow next year. So how about you get involved? How about you find somewhere to serve and actually show up for soul winning and start singing and start being friendly and maybe connect with someone and invite someone and help someone and pray for someone and get engaged in all these things. Because in 2025, I think we're going to be able to say, here we grow again. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do love you. And Lord, we thank you for these principles, these timeless principles for church growth and personal growth. And Lord, I pray you'd help us to grow. Lord, I pray that in 2025 there would be a revival of soul winning at Verity Baptist Church. That soul winners would get excited and get on fire and start following up on their converts and getting them in church and getting them in the baptistry and getting them in discipleship. Lord, help us to reach people. And Lord, we pray that as a result of the ministry of this church, that this area, that it would be said of our church in this area, that the word of God increase and the number of the disciples was multiplied. Lord, I pray you'd help us. Help us, Lord, to keep the main things, and Lord, help us to continue to grow as you see fit. In the matchless name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. We're going to have Brother RJ come up and lead us in a final song. Just want to give you a